Blog Talk Radio.
Good to go.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, May the 5th of 2021. I don't know where that came from. I don't do that. It is Wednesday, May 5th, 2021, and I'm so glad that you've made the determination to tune in to this program and to receive from the Lord tonight what he has for you. And I'm just so grateful to the Lord for all of you, for you, all of my listeners that have tuned in. Wherever you're tuning in from around the world, whatever country, whatever city in that country, whether you're here in the U.S. or you're across the ocean, maybe you're across the Atlantic, a.k.a. the pond, over in England or France or something like that, or maybe you're across the Pacific over in something like Japan or Asia, somewhere in Asia, or wherever you are. I'm just so grateful to God for you tuning in. I even remember when not too long ago, being told that I had listeners listening from six continents: North America, South America, Africa, Asia, Europe, and Australia/Oceania, you know, whatever you want to call that continent that they say is the land down under. In my mind, it is not the land down under. In my mind, it's just another continent that happens to be down below the equator. Of course, Antarctica is also down below the equator. Nobody calls that the land down under. But I want to thank you all for joining us. If you missed last night, we talked about the miracle of Jesus healing 10 lepers there in Luke. And of course, it's just a great thing when God heals. You know, that what we read about, those were wonderful miracles. And we also talked about healing a little bit as part of that faith for your miracle. And on Tuesday nights, right now, we're going to be doing Miracle Tuesdays, Testimony Tuesdays, where we talk about the testimony, the miracles that Jesus did in people's bodies, and greatly have enjoyed that. Now, it Speaking of miracles, I want to say something about expecting miracles. You know, over the years, people have been known to stand in line for hours in the rain to go see people like Benny Hinn. And back in the day, Oral Roberts and the like. And those people were hungry. They were hungry. They were expecting a miracle from God, whether they wanted a healing in their body, whether they wanted a healing in their mind, whether they wanted to be free from drugs or alcohol, whether they wanted to get saved, whatever they wanted. And these people would come in there to that arena, to that stadium, to that, wherever the venue was, they would come in there expecting. Just imagine what could happen if we showed up to the house of God expecting God to move and not just kind of, you know, saying your little, I'm going to church tonight and I hope that I don't leave the house of God the same way that I enter. Well, that might be. And when you say, I hope like that, almost sounds like you're doubting. Certainly not expecting. No, you need to be going to the house of God expecting in your mind. And saying, I'm going to receive this miracle from my God this morning or tonight. I'm going to receive. I will not leave that church building the way that I entered it. I will leave it changed. I will leave it delivered, healed, set free. And you need to be, just imagine if we all showed up to the house of God expecting God to move, expecting those healings. Imagine the power level that we could be having in our churches. And recently, I had just started listening to some of the very old Benny Hinn crusades that he had been doing in this country. One that really caught my eye is one in Detroit back in the year 1995. I was born by the year 1995. I had been to, my mom said I had been to one when I was like a baby, which I trust her word on that. I remember being at one in 1998 in Detroit, 2001 in Grand Rapids, which was, well, and then 2005 in downtown Detroit. But the 1995 one there were two children basically back to back. One of these children had an inner ear, but they had no outer ear and no ear canal at all. A 7-year-old boy. With no outer ear, and the ear canal, but he had the inner ear. And Jesus restored that. And he could hear perfectly. Another kid. This boy was 12 years old at the time. He had no vision in his right eye because somehow at the age of 2, a fork had somehow gotten in his right eye and basically made it so that with his right eye, he could not see at all. And had done, like, damage to his eye. Well, God healed all that. And this girl's vision was totally restored. And there were other miracles. And he even said during that, throughout the course of all that, just through the part where there was the healings. And he said, Detroit, you're amazing me. You're really amazing me. Those people who were in that arena were expecting God to move. That's why God was able to move the way he was in there. Those people were in there expecting. There's a couple different verses. There's a verse in the New Testament where Jesus says, where it tells us that Jesus could only lay his hands on a few sick folk, only a few, because those people there were dealing with doubt and unbelief, and their expectors weren't where they should have been. They weren't expecting. Wanting that miracle is one thing. Expecting it is another. Because I want it is like when you're wanting something, there can be, you know, there can be a phase where you're just hoping and wishing. I hope. I wish. I wish. I wish. I hope. Well, then you gotta start confessing it by faith. It's coming. It's gonna come. It's gonna come. It's gonna come. Then, of course, what you have to do is you have to be expecting. It's going to come now. It's going to come now. That manifestation is going to happen now in the name of Jesus. And you get to that place where you believe it. You believe it. And you're expecting it. And you should always be expecting miracles from God when you need them. If you need a miracle, you should be expecting it. Not just saying, I wish he would do it. No. Expect it. Expect God to move on your behalf. not just we need it. At some point you admit it, you know, that you need it. Then you expect it. There's people who I'm sure who ask for miracles, who ask for healing. They pray to God for it. And they may be believing. They may have the faith. But you have to truly be expecting in that anticipation. And to see yourself, whatever that infirmity is, you know, see yourself without that cancer. See yourself out of that wheelchair. See yourself seeing. See yourself free from alcohol and drug abuse. See yourself you know, see your mind made whole. See these things that are not in the natural, yet. So don't just confess it. Try to imagine it. And then you got to be expecting it. And so even if you're not necessarily believing for healing, but you just want to see more of the power of God be made manifest, you got to be expecting that, expecting it. Have that hunger, have that thirst. And have that want to serve him. Have that want to. And I'm just thinking, and I've been thinking about that today, and I was like, because I had been listening to that, the healings from that crusade this morning. I still have a little bit of it yet, but those people, they were expecting. Yes, they were desperate, but they were also expecting. And if you say, I'm desperate, I really need it, I hope he does. I hope. No, I expect that miracle from the Lord. You have to be expecting it, because you set your expectations high upon the Lord, you're more apt to get what you want from him. If you expect less, that could be what you may be more apt to get. So we all need to make sure that when we go to the house of God that we are expecting, that we're not just going in there No. I'd be expecting God to move. Expecting. And speaking of, so I just really wanted to encourage you with that. I felt like there was somebody listening tonight that needed to hear that. All right. So, Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday. And wanted to encourage you to get, again, to please call your mother. Spend time with her if you can. You're in an area near her. Take her to lunch or dinner. Make her something. You know, whatever you want to do for your mother. And be a blessing. And do the things that she reminded you to do, and, you know, don't jump on the bed. Your bed is not the trampoline. Some parents almost make it sound like some of these mothers, I got to say, some of these mothers almost say, if you get one stain on these blue jeans, you're going to be in big trouble. And you might not go to heaven. No. I hope they don't really say that, but some of them, that's just how they act. Right, Shelley? I hope you never threatened your kids with that. You didn't tell them, if you get one stain on the on these jeans.
No.
I was just thinking of that because Pastor, I know years ago, quite a few years ago, had teased about that. But even if they are, you know, parents are parents. Mothers are mothers. And yes, sometimes they nag, but, you know, they love us. And mothers, good mothers want the best for their children. And no matter how old you get, you're still their son or daughter. Doesn't matter if you're 80 and she's 98. Her son or daughter. Period. So, of course, do something for her that makes her proud. Because, after all, she is the one who brought you into the world, is your mother. And to all you moms listening on the program tonight, happy early Mother's Day. Hope that your children make you proud on this Mother's Day weekend. And I just think about all the different memories that I've had over the years with my mom, and I've had a lot of good ones. In the times that we've been to the beach together. Because it's funny in my family. Me and my mom, we enjoy the beach. My dad, not so much. My brother, he could not go to a beach again in the rest of his life and be happy with it. tried to say it like being funny about it. One of these days we're still going to persuade him, me and mom both. Just thinking of how to do it. Mom, maybe you can help me. Because, and of course we try to do the, you know, suntan thing. See, you can get the better tan, me or my mom. I always want to win. She always wants to win. Who's going to win? Well, shall I just say, let's move on. No, I love my mother. I really do. I love her. And so she wants to win the tan. That's her thing. And so let me just see. All right. I want to remind you of a couple different things. Thing one, I want to remind you that McDonald's does have their frozen Cokes out now. You can go find one at a McDonald's near you. Price and participation may vary. May not be available in all areas. See store for details. Also, I want to remind you to please go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, that's rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, riversofmiracles.com to find out more information about the book Rivers of Miracles, the story of a God who my mom could not see, but believed in strongly. And it chronicles the first 30 years of my life. And it really is a good read. I would highly suggest that you go buy that book. So that can be a blessing to you. Also, I want to encourage you to please, we have a PayPal now. You can go online to PayPal. In the search box, you can type in Rivers Shukla. That's Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Space Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Remember, Rivers and Shukla are both capitalized. And you can give whatever the amount you feel like you're supposed to give. If God's given you an amount, give it. Give that amount. And maybe if God's not speaking to you, just give something out of your heart. Because, of course, free will offerings are awesome. And The verse I want to stand on tonight is, therefore my God shall supply all of my needs according to the stock market. Wait a minute. Yeah, isn't that what it says? The stock market? The needs according to the stock market? Oh, no. Huh. Oh, the thinker. Oh, my God shall supply. We'll try it right. Let's do this right. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. He supplies your needs according to that. Therefore, as you sow a seed, I called out those seeds blessed when you bring, as you sow them, and just know that I'm always believing God with you. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to sing a few songs. And then we are going to get into the word of the Lord tonight, continuing on with the book of Samuel. We'll be delving into Saul, a bit more into Saul tonight, and what all happens there. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. Yes, Lord, I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I've tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. Oh, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, yes, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new. Yes, Jesus, when I met you, oh, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Yes, Lord, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Yes, out of the darkness to your glorious day. My sin was heavy. Your chains break at the weight of your glory. My sin and shelter, I was an orphan. You called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name, yes, I ran out of that grave. Yes, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Yes, out of you called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Yes, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power, that you strengthen us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. The enemy that comes, it won't prevail. The Lord God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. My God will never fail. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to the Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to the Lord. Oh. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. And it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. I know my God will never fail. And I'm not backing down from any giant. Because I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. 'Cause I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, you take what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good, you turn it for good. Yes, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, Lord, you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, Lord, you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you. Our Christ, what a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Heaven, death could not hold you. The grave tore before you. You're now and forever, God, you reign. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your name is powerful. Your name is beautiful. Your name is wonderful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your name is the name above all names. You don't have any rival. You don't have any equal. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are to us. You are our healer. You are the God that strengthens us. You are the God that delivers us. You are the ever-present help in time of need. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you're moving on behalf of all these people tonight. Whatever they have need of from you tonight, I pray that they would receive that thing that they're asking you for, whatever it is. And I just thank you, Lord God, that as we study your word tonight, that you would reveal yourself to us and show up mightily on our behalf tonight as we study your word. And now, Lord, I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that increase that sponsors and partners coming to this program. I thank you, Lord God, that finances come in. I thank you for the increase in listenership coming into this program. Most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Let's make our Bible confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10. Woo! Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And we're going to continue dealing with the book of 1 Samuel and digging into Saul a bit more tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. If you're not there, go ahead and catch up. Then Saul took a flask of oil and poured it. Samuel took a flask of oil, put it on Saul's head, and he kissed him, saying, "Hasn't the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb. At Zozah, on the border of Benjamin, they will say to you, 'The donkeys that you sent out to look for, they have been found. Now your father has stopped thinking about them, and he is worried about you. He is asking, what shall I do about my son?' Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats. Another will be carrying three loaves of bread. And another a skin of wine. They will greet you and will offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourine flutes and harps being played before them. And they will be prophesying. There, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power. And you will prophesy with them. And you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do." Verse 9. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all of these signs were fulfilled that day. When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. When all these who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, "What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" A man who lived there answered, And who was their father? So it became a saying, is Saul also among the prophets? After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, where have you been? Looking for the donkeys, he said. But when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. Saul's uncle said, tell me what Samuel said to you. Saul replied, he assured us that the donkeys had been found, but he didn't tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship. Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord at Mizpah and said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the power of Egypt and all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have now rejected your God, who saves you out of all your calamities and distresses. And you have said, no, set a king over us. So now present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and clans. And when Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan, and Matre's clan was chosen. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen. But when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord, has the man come here yet? And the Lord said, yes, he has hidden himself among the baggage. They ran and brought him out. And as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people, do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people. Then the people shouted, long live the king! Samuel explained to the people the regulations of the kingship, and he wrote them down on a scroll, and he deposited it before the Lord. Then Samuel dismissed the people, each to his own home. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. But some troublemakers said, how can this fellow save us? And they despised him, and they brought him no gifts. But Saul kept silent. Chapter 11. Nahash, the Ammonite, went up and besieged Jabesh-Gilead, and all the men, Jabesh said to him, make a treaty with us that we will be subject to you. But Nahash, the Ammonite, replied, I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out the right eye of every one of you and shall bring disgrace on all Israel. The elders of Jabesh said to him, give us 7 days so that we can send messengers throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you. When the messengers came to Gibeah with Saul and reported the terms to the people, they all wept aloud. Just then, Saul was returning from the fields behind his oxen, and he asked, what is wrong with the people? Why are they weeping? Then they repeated to him what the men of Jabesh had said. When Saul heard their words, the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he burned with anger. He took a pair of oxen, cut them into pieces, and set the pieces to messengers throughout Israel, proclaiming, this is what will be done to the oxen of anyone who does not follow Saul and Samuel. Then the terror of the Lord fell on the people, and they turned out as one man. And when Saul mustered them at Bezek, the men of Israel numbered 300,000, and the men of Judah, 30,000. They told the messengers who had come, say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, the time the sun, by the time the sun is hot tomorrow, you will be delivered. When the messengers went and reported this to the men of Jabesh, they were elated. They said to the Ammonites, tomorrow we will surrender to you, and you can do to us whatever seems good to you. The next day, Saul separated his men into three divisions. During the last watch of the night, they broke into the camp of the Ammonites and slaughtered them until the heat of the day. Those who surrendered were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. The people then said to Samuel, who was it that asked, shall Saul reign over us? Bring these men to us, and we will put them to death. But Saul said, no one shall be put to death today. And this day the Lord has rescued Israel. Then Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and there reaffirm the kingship. So all the people went to Gilgal and confirmed Saul as king in the presence of the Lord. There they scattered fellowship offerings before the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites held a great celebration. We'll do chapter 12 real quick, and then we'll discuss this. Samuel said to all Israel, I have listened to everything that you said to me, and I have sent a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and I am gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my mouth? If I have done any of these, I will make it right. You have not cheated or oppressed us, they replied. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand. And Samuel said to them, the Lord is witness against you. And also his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand. He is witness, they said. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here, because I am going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your fathers. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help. The Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your forefathers up out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned, we have forsaken the Lord, and we have served the Baals and the Ashtaroths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you. Then the Lord sent Jubal, Barak, and Samuel, and he delivered the people from the hands of your enemies on every side, so that you lived securely. But when you saw the Nahash king of the Ammonites was moving against you, you said to me, no, we want a king to rule over us. Even though the Lord your God was your king. Now, here is the king that you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has sent a king over you. If you fear the Lord, you serve and obey him, and do not rebel against his commands. And if both you and the king who reigns over you, if you follow the Lord your God, go. But if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now then, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Isn't it harvest now? I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain. You will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel called upon the Lord, and that same day, the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. The people all said to Samuel, pray to the Lord, your God, and your servants, so that we will not die. For we have added to all of our other sins the evil of asking for a king. Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil. Yet, do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right, but be sure to fear the Lord and to serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. All right. All right. Now, what you see here is Saul was confirmed as king after he had already been anointed king by Samuel. He was then confirmed. Then many of the people did not want Saul to be their king. And then in chapter 12, God reveals to those people. He basically says, now, folks, I want you to listen to me. He basically tells them, you have not done right by asking for a king. And explain to him, this is the king you asked for. Because when they saw someone going against someone else, God had been their king. God had been their king. He had been. But those people had been rejecting him, resisting him, complaining. And putting other things ahead of him. Doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. And God had done all kind of things to show him. And even on that very day, where Samuel was right there confronting all those people, giving his farewell speech, he ended it by saying, I'm going to ask right now for the Lord to send thunder on us and rain. God sent thunder and rain upon those people. And I think it was just a quick little 1 second, one little thunder, and three little raindrops. Right? Don't you think that's all it was? Like one little thunder, three little raindrops? No. I bet you it was a long one. I bet you it was quite a soaker. Don't you? I'm sure it was a soaker. I hadn't seen one like that in all. And then they realized that they had not been right, because so they heard Samuel ask God to send down rain and thunder and lightning. And obviously, they didn't have tents to go hide in from said thunder and lightning. And rain. And he even warned them, if you and your king do not serve the Lord, then you'll be swept away. And that's what Samuel had warned them of. First, in chapter 10, he prophesied. I mean, Samuel explained to Saul what all would happen. That they would go to this. That he would go to this certain place. He would find these certain people. There would be carrying loaves of bread that him and his servant would accept from them. He also explained that Saul would see all these prophets prophesying, and that Saul would prophesy too. And he did. And because God had showed Samuel what would happen for Saul, and so Saul told him. And then Samuel told Saul. God had told Samuel what to tell Saul. And what Saul would be doing. How did he know? Because Samuel was a prophet of the Lord. And of course, and the Israelites had been rejecting the Lord. At times they had been, you know, saying that they served God, but in a way, at times they would be, like, they'd get right, and then they'd lose their footing and would stop being right. These people, at times it just took a lot to explain things to them. And at one point they even said, whoever asked Saul to be king, let's just take him out. Let's just have him put to death. Or Saul then tells them, you know, no one's dying today. Later, the people ended up celebrating. But they had to be able to realize that that was not God's wish for them to have a king. The wish of God was not for them to have a king. The Lord wished that they would just be serving him and that he would be their king. And for reasons, they had decided that they wanted an actual king, like what other countries had. And for whatever reason, they just wanted to be like all the other countries, even though God meant for them to be at a higher place, because God had brought them out of Egypt. He had parted the sea for them. And then they forgot about him. They forgot about the Lord. And decided to get back to doing their own thing, to go back to being their own God. Deciding that they had it all figured out when they didn't have it all figured out. And so let me just think here. So, but those Israelites, see, Saul, Samuel, had to explain that to those people. To all of those Israelites, those 300,000 of them that there were. And they did their little thing that would have been like their version kind of an election, like using the tribes. And Saul was the one that was chosen. And the people saw it. They saw how tall he was. And they were like, it's this guy? It's like they were like, they had like cast lots and what have you, and they're like, it's this guy? And of course, Samuel had explained everything. Saul did not even tell his uncle about the kingship. Saul did not tell his uncle about the kingship. We're going to find out on Monday night when we come back that Saul did not exactly follow the commands of the Lord. We're going to find out that he didn't follow them. And so of course, there's stuff to be learned from this. God didn't write the Old Testament just for the purposes of a story. Oh, no, 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 no. There's a lot more to it than that. There was a reason for it being written. And God used Samuel. And he was a great man of God. A prophet of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would get this word in our minds and that we would serve you, that we would just watch our attitude, that we would not doubt you. And Lord, I thank you for the exhortation about expecting. We would always be expecting something from you. We would always be expecting, Lord God, for you to move on our behalf. And that you would move on our behalf because of our high expectation for you to move. And I just thank you, Lord God, for everything you're doing in our midst, and for all of these listeners. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And now I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us. Plague shall come nigh our dwellings, for you, Lord Jesus, have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drugged or drunk driver, no rapist, no murderer, no burglar, no suicide, no terrorist, no sickness, no disease, no COVID, no fire, flood, or crash. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. Amen. Until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.